I'd like to take a moment to let you all know about a new nonprofit organization started by my brother Craig. It's called Treats and Truth. They fill oversized brown lunch bags with snack items, chips, crackers, popcorn, cookies, etc. Also, a bottle of water, toothbrush, toothpaste, sanitary wipes, and most importantly, a small gospel tract book of John. No cigar? I'll have to talk to him about that. The bags are then hand-delivered to the homeless and people in need in and around the Los Angeles area. Let's help get this ministry off the ground. They're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, so any and all donations are tax-deductible and greatly appreciated. Visit their website at treatsandtruth.org. Check out the show notes for the link. Also, please follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you. Welcome to episode 161 of the Burning Bush Podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Hope you're doing well, and I'm glad you've joined me. Today we're reading the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 18, with commentary from the notes in the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible, and I'm smoking the Ezra Zion FHK Black Edition in the Toro 6x52 Vitola. So let's go to the Ezra Zion Cigars website and see what they have to say. So how do you improve on a cigar that won number one cigar of the year award in 2015? FHK has long been sold out, and for good reason. It's one of the most delicious, sophisticated, and complex cigars ever blended. So leave it to us to want to tinker around with it and make it even better. FHK Black Edition is the next evolution in FHK. The original has been long gone for a couple of years, and it's taken us this long to procure the very aged and very rare tobaccos needed to make this extremely special next chapter of this cigar. To do it justice, I'd need an hour to tell you the backstory of this amazing blend. It's taken us years of searching, countless miles traveled, and going to some places you've never even heard of to get the ultra-rare tobaccos that are in FHK Black Edition. So yes, FHK Black Edition holds a very special place in our heart. And yes, I have some secreted away in my personal humidor. And no, I'm not going to share any of it. FHK Black Edition is a full-bodied, medium-strength 6x52 Classic Toro. Wrapper is a chocolatey 10-year-aged San Andres Maduro leaf. Fillers will remain a very closely guarded secret, but they are all between 5 and 13 years aged. First light is an explosion of flavor. Dark chocolate, raw sugar cane, toasted nuts, and whipped cream rush across the palate. Hints of cinnamon stick and roasted espresso beans follow immediately after. The finish lingers long on the tongue with notes of nutmeg and cream. Retrohale adds a warming black pepper burn. As it progresses, the age of the tobacco starts to be tasted immediately. The flavor is hard to describe, but it's incredible. Along with that are hints of dark brown sugar, bourbon barrel, and white pepper. Halfway, salted caramel, rich milk chocolate, aged leather, and nuts emerge. The richness goes up another level. Hints of cocoa, vanilla beans, hazelnut, and clove appear. The balance between sweet and savory is perfect. Amazing. Last third, the richness and depth of the flavors goes completely off the charts. Huge waves of dark chocolate reappear. Powdered sugar, walnuts, black licorice, semi-sweet chocolate chips, and butter. The last third of this cigar could possibly be the most complex flavors I've ever experienced in a cigar. FHK Black Edition should win a number one cigar of the year. In our opinion, it's even better than the 2015 release. We wish we could have made a bigger batch of these for you, but the tobaccos were just too scarce. FHK Black Edition will be sold out so fast. Sincerest apologies to those who miss it. We always try to let everyone know as soon as possible whenever there's a new release. Make sure to join our text notifications by texting Ezra Zion, E-Z-R-A-Z-I-O-N, to 817-391-9271. Take my advice. Get this quick, and whatever you were going to order, double it. If you only get one cigar this year, make it this one. Get you some now. That is the Ezra Zion FHK Black Edition from Ezra Zion Cigars. So let's get back into this week's reading of the Book of Luke, chapter 18. I am reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, and verse 1 reads, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, Give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Spurgeon comments on verse 13, "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It was the fault of the Pharisee that, though he entered the temple to pray, he did not pray. There is no prayer in all that he said. It is one excellence of the tax collector that he went up to the temple to pray and did pray. There is nothing but prayer in all that he said. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," is a pure, unadulterated prayer throughout. It was the fault of the Pharisee that when he went up to the temple to pray, he forgot an essential part of prayer, which is confession of sin. He spoke as if he had no sins to confess, but many virtues to parade. It was a chief excellence in the devotion of the tax collector that he did confess his sin and that his utterance was full of confession of sin. From beginning to end, it was an acknowledgement of his guilt and an appeal for grace to the merciful God. The prayer of the tax collector is admirable for its fullness of meaning. One expositor calls it a holy telegram, and certainly it is so compact and so condensed, so free from superfluous words, that it is worthy to be called by that name. I do not see how he could have expressed his meaning more fully or more briefly. What great things are packed away in this short petition. God, mercy, sin, the propitiation, and forgiveness. The prayer so pleased the Lord Jesus Christ, who heard it, that he condescended to become a portrait painter and took a sketch of the petitioner. Luke, who, according to this tradition, was somewhat of an artist as well as a physician, takes great care to place this picture in the National Portrait Gallery of men saved by sovereign grace. Here we have the portrait of a man who called himself a sinner, who may yet be held up as a pattern to saints. And back to Luke verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And a ruler asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, All these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, Then who can be saved? But he said, What is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said, See, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. And taking the 12, he said to them, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. And Spurgeon says about verses 32 and 33, For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked, insulted, spit on, and after they flog him, they will kill him, and he will rise on the third day. It would be hard to imagine our Lord speaking more plainly. He tells them of his sufferings in detail, describes exactly what is to happen. But their thoughts did not run that way, and when you are not expecting a thing, it matters little how plainly you may be told of it. And these disciples of our Lord were looking to see him made a king. They could not comprehend that the only crown he was to have would be one of thorns, and that the homage paid to him would be to be scourged and spat upon. And back to Luke verse 34, But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. and those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And that's the end of today's reading in the book of Luke. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible, as well as today's cigar. Also, Groundworks Ministries for daily Bible studies and devotionals. Treats and Truth Ministry, where you can get involved in helping to spread the gospel to and be a blessing to the homeless. And the Burning Bush Merchandise Store, where you can pick up some items to help spread the word about the show. If you know anyone who needs to hear this, please let them know about the podcast and help share the message of the Bible, the hope we have in Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at steve@theburningbushpodcast.com, which is linked in the show notes as well. So until next time, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.